वो शुक्रा सो हरे कृष्ण सो यस्टरडे वी वर सीइंग दैट हाउ इवन लर्नड सेजेस ट्रांसेंडेंटलिस्ट हु आर एंडेवरिंग टू कंट्रोल देयर सेंसेस आर आल्सो टेकन अवे बाय देयर माइंड आर सेंसेस बिकॉज द सेंसेस आर वेरी स्ट्रांग एंड सफिशिएंट. So I was telling, what is the test of our advancement? If one can, according to one's plan, engage his senses, so that is called as such person is called as advanced. Now coming back to the point that, so we were seeing different verses which tell about the who is advanced. So one verse we discussed about Yamunacharya. Yadavadi mama chetaha krishna padaravind navanavarasadhamani yudyatam nantumasit tadavadi vatanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha ukara shushtu nishtiyunam. Similarly in that connection Srila Prabhupada here in the purport he is telling 2.60. You can see there, Krishna consciousness is such a transcendentally nice thing that automatically material enjoyment is tasteful. It is as if a hungry man had satisfied his hunger by sufficient quantity of nutritious eatables. So this is from that verse which yesterday we were trying to find. Bhakti Parishanu Bhava Virakti Ranyatra Chai Shatrika Eka Kalaha Prapadyamanasya Yatashmitas. So, there are three things. When we eat, three things happen. Anyone would like to say what happens when we eat three times? Three things. Prasadam will fall in ground. then what else happens? Digestion happens. Then no. When we eat, what happens? Wow. So this is what happens. When you eat, prasadam falls around. But when we eat, it will not fall around. Alright? You should tell some common things which happens, when we eat. Kunji Bihari, Shreyas, when they eat, a lot of prasadam falls around. What happened to Kunji Bihari? Father? Now 3-4 days he will be around, hanging around father only, I think. So coming to the point of that, where is Kunji Bihari sir? Class has started, you tell him. So you should see, no? Yeah, so three things happen. So, pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger. So, these are the three symptoms of after when we eat. So, now in this verse, Bhakti Parashanabha Virakti Ranatra Chesha, you can read the translation from that. You are getting? It is in 11th canto. Verses from 11th canto, you can search it.
Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things. These three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So, now these are the things happen when we practice bhakti. Huh? Bhagavad-gita went away. It always goes away, I think. Huh? It's okay, sit. Giridhara Gopinath Prabhu has taken this. Okay. So, bhakti. These are the three things. Now, I would like to know from all of you, what is the comparison here? How these three things are compared with the results of eating? What is compared with which one?
Direct experience of Supreme Lord is nourishment. Mitigation of hunger is detachment from other things. Pleasure.
Is?
Bhakti.
By doing devotional service, we get these three things. But then bhakti, how bhakti word is connected to pleasure? Right or not? See, bhakti, pareshana bhava, virakti. These are the three symptoms of practicing devotional service. Pleasure is there. The very nature of bhakti is pleasurable, it is. Therefore, that word indicates pleasure. So, happiness. So, when we eat, we get the happiness of eating, that taste, you know. So, and when we eat, then we develop every morsel of food we take. So we get relief from hunger. That is virakti. Virakti means detachment from objects of enjoyment, worldly enjoyment, worldly objects of enjoyment. Virakti, that is. And then, so pare ishanubhava, nourishment. When we eat food, we get, so when it gets digested, you are telling. So by digesting, we get strength in the body, nourishment, stamina. So that is para ishanubhava. Why para ishanubhava gives nourishment in spiritual life? Realization of the absolute truth or supreme lord. Now we are practicing Krishna consciousness. Like other day we were discussing, no, that point. If you come to know that there is no Krishna, what will happen? You will be frustrated, right? But you are realizing that Krishna is there. You know, you are getting, from Krishna you are getting hint about his existence while practicing. That will give you encouragement in devotional service, inspiration in devotional service, conviction in devotional service. Therefore, para ishanubhava is compared to nourishment. So, what to speak of para ishanubhava? Some basic things. Like Krishna says, this material world is dukkhalayam. And when you experience some dukkha, so you understand, oh, Krishna has taught it and now I am really experiencing in my life. So, therefore, we get an inspiration in devotional service. You understood this point? When we get dukkha, we should not become discouraged in spiritual life. We should become encouraged by understanding that, oh, Krishna's teaching is coming to true in Bhagavad Gita. This is realization. Realization should give us encouragement and inspiration. But the point here is that many people experience dukkha, but they don't make progress in spiritual life. They don't come to spiritual life because they are not hearing from proper source. Hearing from proper source is also very important aspect of realization. So, in this way, it is as if a hungry man had satisfied his hunger by sufficient quantity of nutritious eatables. Then he says, Maharaj Amrish also conquered a great yogi, Durvasa Muni, simply because his mind was engaged in Krishna consciousness. So this will come again, we will discuss this regarding Amrish Maharaj. Next verse it comes.
Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matparaha
One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control and fixes his consciousness upon him, is known as a man of steady intelligence.
So in the previous verse what Krishna said? He spoke about the senses are so strong they take away the mind of who is trying to control them, vipashitaha. Now in this verse Krishna gives a solution. Of course, from Prabhupada's purpose we got solution in the previous verse only. But for Arjuna there are no Prabhupada's purpose, right? So therefore Krishna is giving solution here. So what he has to do? Thani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matparaha. Matparaha. Matparaha means, yukta means engaging. Asita should be situated. You see this. How that yogi is situated, that verse, you know, right? That one of the question was how the yogi is situated, how he walks and how he sits, that we were discussing. So here asita word comes, you see. Kim asita, kim rajeta kim. So that was Arjuna's question. So here these symptoms of such person are given. One who is asita. Yukta asita matparaha. So those who are engaged in relationship with me. In other words, what is that engaging in relationship with me? Matparaha means it is engaging in devotional service. Are engaging in this buddhi yoga. So, especially here, we were seeing that chart was there, you know, buddhi yoga means it can be karma yoga, it can be jnana yoga, it can be ashtanga yoga, it can be bhakti yoga. So, all yoga, any yoga is called as buddhi yoga. So, here especially this particular verse, because Krishna he says, mat paraha, in relationship with me. So it is directly devotional service. It is Shuddha Bhakti it is. So it is directly devotional service. It is Shuddha Bhakti it is. There are some terms in the Shastra you must have. In Bhagavatam it will come again and again. Narayana Parayana. Or Vasudeva Parayana. Here that is the meaning of word Matpara. Matpara means Narayana Parayana. Vasudeva Parayana. We have become completely Krishna conscious. We have become completely Narayana conscious or Vasudeva conscious. So here that is the meaning of Krishna conscious, matparaha. So this is the word. So matparaha. So those who are engaged in relationship with me, thani sarvani sanyam, they will be able to control their senses. So here Srila Prabhupada in the Purport, he is quoting a commentary of Balde Vidyabhushan. You all remember, no? Balde Vidyabhushan wrote a commentary called on Bhagavad Gita, he wrote a commentary called Govinda Bhasha is commentary on Vedanta Sutra. What is the commentary? You all should remember, no? All this thing. It was dictated, no? It was dictated, no? You wrote down? You didn't write? You should write by seeing others. No doubt. So, Gita Bhushana. He wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita called Gita Bhushana. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Sararta Varshani. Varshani means shower. Shower of essential meanings. That is the title. Gita Bhushana means what? You give a good meaning to that. Decoration. Ornaments. of Gita. Okay, so he says, you see, very nice it is. Matpara means what? The word Matpara is most significant in this connection. How one can become Matpara is described in the life of Ambarish Maharaj. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, a great scholar and an acharya in the line of Matpara, remarks. So, our parampara is parampara of Matparas. That means Krishna conscious. Those who are completely absorbed in Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada, he defined what is Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna consciousness movement is Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha, he says. Those who are simply satisfied remembering Krishna. It is association of people who are simply satisfied remembering Krishna. That is Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha. So, it's a parampara of, Matpara, those who are Krishna conscious. So, Madbhakti, Prabhavena, Sarvendriya Vijaya, Purvaika, Swatma Drishti, Sulabheti Bhavaha. So, what it is told? Madbhakti Prabhavena, Sarvendriya Vijaya. How devotee conquers his senses, controls his senses? By the influence of Krishna's devotional service. Madbhakti Prabhavena. By the influence of my devotional service, Krishna is telling like that. Madbhakti Prabhavena. Madbhakti means my devotional service. So, Krishna is saying. So, Madbhakti Prabhavena, Sarvendriya Vijaya. So, all the senses would be controlled immediately. So, that is the power of this devotional service. So, if one wants to control his senses, one has to engage in devotional service. So, here we come to the point that how devotee is actually, they don't control senses, but they engage their senses in the service of Krishna. And Krishna automatically, he controls them. So, Mayavadis, they try to control. Yogis, Mayavadis, Jnanis. So, they want to control, stop their senses. But we don't stop our senses. We engage them in the service of Krishna. And Krishna controls them. So, it is very, very easy, no? That's why it is Mat Bhakti Prabhavena. So, Mat Paraha it is. So, this point we should remember, right? So, here example of Ambarish Maharaj is given. Sabai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor Vacham Shivaikunta Gunanu Varananek Karo Harer Mandira Marjana Adishu Shutim Chakara Chuta Satkatodaye Mukundalingalaya Darshane Drisho Tadratya Gatra Sparshanga Sangamam Granam Chatadbada Saroja Saurabe Srimat Tulasya Rasanam Tadarpite Pado Hare Kshetra Padanu Sarpane Shiro Rashikesha Padavi Vandane Kamam Chadase Natu Kama Kameya Yatuttama Shloka Janashaya Rasi. So King Ambarisha fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, engaged his words in describing the abode of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord, his ears in hearing the pastimes of the Lord, his eyes in seeing the form of the Lord, his body in touching the body of the devotee. So sometime Prabhupada was explaining this, how touching. When devotees sit together for prasadam, their body touches, he says, in nectar of devotion. His nostrils in smelling the flavor of the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. His tongue in tasting the tulasi leaves offered to him. His legs in traveling to the holy place where his temple is situated. His head in offering obeisances unto the Lord. And his desires in fulfilling the desires of the Lord. And all these qualifications made him fit to become a Matpara devotee of the Lord. So in this way, here especially the last lines, kamam chadase natu kama kamya yatuttama shlokaya janashraya ratihi. So yatuttama shloka janashraya and matpara are equivalent. So matpara and uttama shloka janashraya is especially rati. So because of that one arises bhava, love for Krishna, so by engaging in devotional service. So that is what Balde Vidyabhushan is telling. So Vijaya Purvaika Swatma Drishtihi Sulabeti Bhavaha. So one attains easily the love of God. So now these verses in Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains two kinds of devotional service. So one is Ekanga Bhakti, another is Bahuanga Bhakti. Ekanga Bhakti means you follow one Anga and attain perfection, because every Anga has capacity to produce result. That is love of Godhead. Alright? The purpose of, you know, sadhana bhakti is to attain love of Godhead. So every Anga has capacity to give the devotee love of Godhead. But so either one can perform one Anga or one can follow many Angas, that is Bahu Anga Bhakti, following Bahu Anga. Coming to the point that you see, there are examples for following one Anga and attaining perfection. Anyone knows what are the examples? Like Shravanam, who attained perfection by hearing? Parikshit Maharaj. And Kirtanam? Shukadeva Goswami. He spoke Bhagavatam. And Smaranam? Prahlad Maharaj. Then fourth one is what Anga? Father Sevanam. Who attained perfection by Father Sevanam? Lakshmi Devi. And Pada Sevanam has two meanings. One is serving directly the feet of the Lord, like Lakshmi Devi does. Another is using our feet in the service of the Lord. How we use our feet in the service of the Lord? Going to the temple. Going. Previously, in Vedic culture, previously, they walked to the temple. They didn't go in the car, two-wheeler. You will go. Show our opulence to the Lord. See how I have a car, I am more opulent than you. So what to speak of going in car? They didn't even wear shoes also. Our devotees also, here also they wear shoes up to the temple here. What is the need to wear shoes here up to temple? Is just to, right? Right or not? What is the necessity to wear shoes? So this is all, these things are very important aspects of culture. How to go to temple, you know. So we should not wear shoes. We should go barefoot. I see in my childhood, in our village, so whenever people went to temple, they never used the shoes. They will walk. And generally in temples used to have, what is that? Some place where they can wash their feet and enter. So like that, all these systems used to be there. Anyway, coming back to the point that Pada Sevanam is attained by Lakshmi Devi. Then Archanam, who attained perfection? Prathu Maharaj. Then Dasyam, Hanuman. Sakyam, Arjuna. Then, so you see, this Dasyam and this Sakyam is not Dasya Rasa and Sakya Rasa. They are different. These are Sadhana Bhakti and they are Prema Bhakti, right? Rasa means relationship, Prema it is. So you understood? So that is Rasa Tattva. This is Sadhana Bhakti. These are different. So this, even we can do, although these are all very advanced, but even we can do these things. So we will discuss them in detail once. So now Vida Bhakti. And Atmanimidanam?
Bali Maharaj.
So Rukmini is another example given by Rupa Goswami. So in this way, these are nine Angas of Bhakti. And they attain perfection just by following one Anga. So, is there any example of a devotee who followed all the Angas and attained perfection? Ambarish Maharaj. That is. So then, these verses are quoted by Rupa Goswami there. So, Sabai Mana Krishna Pada Aravinda. He engaged. And what we are doing? We are doing one Anga or Bahu Anga? What we are doing? We are doing Bahu Anga. Why we are doing Bahu Anga? Why we are not doing one Anga only?
You cannot do one thing perfectly.
one. Right or not? We tell to sit for 3 hours in Bhakti Shastri class and so much difficulty it is. That's why our Acharya has mercifully engaged us. Right? Gurukuli boys also in between, they get up and go and sleep there. Class is going on. Okay, we understand, no problem. Even if you go. Prabhupada for Gurukula boys only 40 minutes class, so we are taking 3 hours class, we cannot expect them to sit. So in between you can go and sleep. We will do Bhakti Shastri again and again for all of you. So this is how Bahuanga. Bahuanga is given to all of us because we are all conditioned souls. So we are not like advanced devotees like all these people who attain perfection just by hearing, just by speaking, just by... I cannot go on speaking. If I go on speaking like this, then immediately I have to go back to home, fall down only. So we need... we don't have taste for Krishna Katha actually. Now only so many physical ailments, just for doing this much class only. So, in this way, they are controlled by... So, here comparison is made with Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was engaged in Ashtanga Yoga. So, here we come to the point. How Bhakti Yoga is more perfect process than other yoga systems? How other yoga... defects of other yoga system? Here one point. This will come throughout Bhagavad Gita. We will see that. Because Prabhupada especially, he will stress. Although Krishna is teaching other process. Of course, other process also means we saw in this chat that ultimately it is just bhakti it is. And they are just different rungs and that ladder of bhakti or yoga. Yoga ladder. So we will see in the 6th chapter how this yoga ladder is. So they are just rungs and that ladder of yoga or bhakti actually. Therefore we wrote karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra. It is just bhakti it is, but different rungs. So, but Prabhupada will always stress shuddha bhakti everywhere, Krishna consciousness in his purports. Because ultimately Krishna is going to give conclusion that you have to, Arjuna, you have to engage in devotional service. Like we other day we discussed, Kurukshetra war is not just prescribed duty, it is a will of Krishna it is. So a devotee should fulfill the mission of Krishna. Arjuna is meant for, why Arjuna came with Krishna to, came with Krishna from the spiritual world. So why he came? He came to fulfill the mission of Krishna, right? And he should fulfill that mission. A devotee should dedicate his life to fulfill the mission of Krishna in the material world. So as soon as we come, take initiation, so we become responsible. So that is the point. Initiation means that responsibility. One of the main aspects of initiation is, it is responsibility. We take responsibility to fulfill the mission of Guru and Krishna. So Guru gives responsibility, one of the 5 things which we have to accept when we take initiation is, one is responsibility, fulfilling the mission of Guru, serving in the mission of Guru and Krishna. So we take responsibility. So it is a will of Krishna. Kurukshetra war is a will of Krishna. It is service to Krishna. So coming back to the point that Prabhupada, he always stresses this in his purports that we don't get distracted with other mishra bhaktis and we only engage in pure Krishna consciousness. So because as a pure devotee of the Lord, Prabhupada, he knows what is the heart of Krishna. While instructing these statements, while speaking these statements, what is his intention behind? Ultimately to take Arjuna to the point of completely surrendering to him. Right? Sarva dharmam parityajya. Conclusion is surrendering to Krishna. Engaging in devotional service in a favorable way. So, therefore, he again and again he will stress. And he will bring out the point that how Krishna consciousness is topmost yoga system. It is a superior process. So here in this purport, what is coming? And previous purport also, there are many vipashitas, jnanis, yogis, who tried to control their senses, but they fell down because senses are so strong. But a devotee like Yamunacharya, Amrish Maharaj, they did not fall down because they are engaged in devotional service. This is the superiority of devotional service. Why devotional service? Bhakti yoga is superior to other yoga system because it helps us to control our senses. Like this, different points will come. Durvasa could not control his anger, but Amrish Maharaj was so tolerant. You can see there, no? Amrish Maharaj was so tolerant. He was, even Lord Krishna did not tolerate that. Of course, it is because of love for his devotee. So he said, if Amrish Maharaj forgives you, then you will be, Sudarshan will not attack you. So, like that, even Lord Vishnu also told to Durvasa Muni. So in this way, so bhakti helps in controlling the senses. So Prabhupada here, he says, senses can be. Also, the example of fire is sometimes given. As a blazing fire burns everything within a room, Lord Vishnu, situated in the heart of the yogi, burns up all kinds of impurities. And one of the characteristics of bhakti, it acts like a fire, it is. Kleshagni. It burns all anarthas. So, although Rupa Goswami, when he was explaining, this is not the main reason, purpose of executing devotional service. Purpose of executing bhakti yoga is to love Krishna. So, we want to love Krishna, we want to engage in his service. So, that is the purpose of bhakti yoga. But on the side, while engaging in that bhakti yoga, what happens? All other things also happen. What are the other things happen? Kleshas, miseries will be burnt, all anarthas will be burnt, material desires will be burnt, so many other things happen. So it is compared, just like we are burning, igniting fire, here we are cooking, so on firewood. So what happens? Your purpose of igniting the fire is to cook food. But along with that, what happens? Whatever you put in the fire, whatever fuel you put, it just burns. And it gives heat, light. All these are all side products of that igniting fire. So similarly, the purpose of doing devotional service is to love Krishna. But the side product is what? All this kleshas will, miseries will get extinguished, destroyed. Our material desires are destroyed. Then like that we go on. So here, as blazing fire burns everything within a room, Lord Vishnu, situated in the heart of a yogi, burns all kinds of impurities. I forgot to bring this verse. So I'll tell you. So the Yoga Sutra also prescribes meditation. What is this Yoga Sutra? Who will tell? The Yoga Sutra also prescribes meditation on Vishnu, not meditation on the void. The so-called yogis who meditate on something other than Vishnu form simply waste their time in a vain search after some pentasmagoria. We have to be Krishna consciousness, devoted to the personality of God. This is the aim of the real yoga. So what is this Yoga Sutra? Yeah, Patanjali wrote Yoga Sutras. So Patanjali has given a meditation on Lord Vishnu. He has not spoken a meditation on Vaid or Sambalma. Right? There are so many yoga institutions now who teach meditation on Vaid. They teach you have to make your mind empty, they say. You have to. So that is not proper yoga system. Or you have to meditate on some bulb. Some blue bulb or red bulb. So all kinds of meditation they want to break up. So Yoga Sutras doesn't encourage that. So what is the focus of this verse? This purport here? What is the focus you tell? How Bhakti Yoga is superior to Ashtanga Yoga. That is the main focus. How Bhakti Yoga is superior to Ashtanga Yoga. This theme will come. Superiority of Bhakti Yoga over other yoga systems will come again and again in Bhagavad Gita. This we have to remember. Okay. So text 62. So from this 62 onwards, 62 onwards, Krishna, next two verses, he will speak process of fall down. Process of fall down. How one falls down. So falling down, if someone falls down, he doesn't suddenly fall down. It doesn't happen suddenly. Sometime it happens suddenly, like it is Ajamila case. Therefore, it is called as accidental fall down. But most of the cases of fall down would not be sudden, it would be. It is always premeditated. So, therefore, Krishna is telling this process of fall down here in Bhagavad Gita. So, text 62. Dhyayato Vishayam Pumsa Sangaste Shupajayate Sangha Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodho Vijayate. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. And from such attachment, lust develops. And from lust, anger arises. Dhyayato Vishayam Pumsa Sangaste Shupajayate Sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodho vijayate. So how begins, dhyayato vishayam pumsa, contemplation. Actually before contemplation there are many other things happen actually. What else happens before contemplation? How contemplation begins? Recently I gave a lecture on in Vellore, I gave a lecture, no? Who were there? You were there, he was there, and he was there. I spoke on those. I started speaking on eight aspects. I did not complete that, of course. Eight aspects of Brahmacharya. Yes? What is that? Smaranam Kirtanam Keli. So these are eight aspects of Brahmacharya. So I was speaking on that. I told what happens before Dhyayata. Smaranam is the first thing, right? Meditating on what?
Women.
Meditating on women or on sex life. So what happens before Smaranam? What happens?
Kirtanam
happens? Damodar is always doing Kirtanam, I think. So much you speak Damodar, right? Not about women I am talking, but generally he is talking. So we cool down Balarama, but Damodar is now in full swing. So what happens before Smaranam? How Smaranam comes? It can be seeing, hearing, and Kirtanam, speaking. This will lead to Smaranam. Actually, seeing is included in hearing. Therefore, in Bhakti, only two things are mentioned. Shravanam and Kirtanam. So, you see, Prabhupada, while explaining those nine stages of devotional service, he says, Shravanam comes first, you hear about it, and then Kirtanam comes. And by doing these two, it will lead to Smaranam, he says. He explains the sequence of order in which those ninefold devotional services are described. So sequence also has importance there. So now before dhyana, meditation, comes seeing, hearing and speaking. So when we see and hear, then we start speaking about it. Right? So Damodar is telling some stories from cinema which he has seen, right? He tells, no, we don't know what happens in Nepali. You should come and tell us, huh, if something does like that. Huh? So because we don't know Nepali, you all can go on speaking anything. Huh, right? Discussing topics. So anyway, sorry, I'm not saying you. So what I was saying was so seeing, hearing and speaking comes before smaranam. Dhyayato vishayam punsa. So therefore it is told, we should not look at women. Of course in that prakshanam word comes, in that eight aspects, but that is counted in afterwards, smaranam. But actually it should, if you see the sequence, it should come first. So sometimes acharyas comment like that in the verse, oh, this word should have come before this, like that they comment. I don't know whether you have seen this, I have read it like that. Sometimes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and all they explain, this word should have come before this, like that. So it is not a mistake of the composers of those verses, because while composing you have to count the rules of composition, poetry or composition, you know, prose, rules of language, linguistic rules. Therefore sometimes, so there is interchange of words and topics, you know, which are discussed in the verse. So anyway, coming back to the point that so dhyayato visham, contemplation happens first. When you start contemplating, we develop attachment to that. Contemplation, 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 we develop attachment. And when we become attachment, sangha sanjayate kama, desires will develop. So sometimes this line is quoted, sangha sanjayate kama, for association, with whom we are associating. If we are associating with devotees, then we develop desire for devotional service. If we are associating with non-devotees, we develop desire for sense enjoyment, sense gratification. So therefore it is told, no, again and again, it is told in Shastra, woman's association is condemned. So we have 150 verses. Our Ashtabhuja Prabhu found out, how many verses? 150. 155 verses quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in one purport, how woman's association is condemned. 155 verses quoted in one purport. Can you imagine? Wherever sages condemned woman's association, everything he brought and put in one purport. So that verse is in Chaitanya Bhagavat. He wrote a commentary on Chaitanya Bhagavat called Gaudiya Bhashya, in Bengali commentary it is. Because book is in Bengali, so he wrote a commentary in Bengali called Gaudiya Bhashya. The verse is, Chaitanya Bhagavat is written by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and Vrindavan Das Thakur, while explaining the glories of Balaram, because if you have to glorify Lord Nityananda, before glorifying Lord Chaitanya, before describing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, he described. The glories and pastimes of Lord Nityananda. And to describe the glories of Lord Nityananda, he has to describe the glories of Balaram, right or not? Lord Nityananda is Balaram. So there he talks about Balaram, how Balaram serves Krishna in five rasas. And we generally hear, no, on Balaram Purnima, so that Lord Balaram serves Krishna in five rasas, like that we hear. That is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is. And then he says, Lord Balaram's rasa lila with the gopis is glorified by all the sages. No. He says, all the sages condemn association of women, but they have glorified Lord Balaram's rasa lila with gopis. Because Lord Balaram also did rasa lila. So, but his gopis and Krishna's gopis were different. They were little elderly gopis. So, in this way, Balaram also performs Rasa Leela. Aray, you should not think yourself as Balaram Baba. both are looking each other and what is this? You are Dasa, you are servant of Balaram. What are? These fellows are funny, they are what they are doing. Anyway. So in this way, sages condemn women's association, and they have glorified Lord Balaram's performing Rasa Leela with the gopis. Like that, this is the verse. And in the verse, he quotes 150 verses. Wherever sages have condemned in the Shastra, he will put that together. So like that he wrote. So that time there was no Veda base. Wherever women are condemned, type Veda. And you know, he was so learned, he was. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati alone. So learned, so thorough in all the Shastras. Of course, he is Shrutidhara. Just by hearing or reading once, he would remember Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati alone. He is Shrutidhara, he is. Right? You all remember it? One, just by reading once, all the verses. You can remember some of that? No, no. You should become like that. So if you practice Brahmacharya very nicely, very strongly, then you will become like that. So coming to the point sages, we have to, but more worst than associating with women is those who are attached to women. That is stated as more worst than that. Therefore it is told, Yoshitam Sangi Sanganam. Yoshit Sangi is, Yoshit means woman. Associating with those who are attached to women is more worst than associating with women. So therefore, among the two kinds of association, Yoshit Sanghis and Mayavadis are described. Mayavadis are non-devotees of Krishna. And materialistic people are Yoshit Sanghis. Materialistic people only interested in Yoshit Sangha, women's association. So if we associate with them, then we will also develop desire to associate with women. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. So therefore we have to associate with devotees. Kamat Krodho Bijayate. So from Kama comes Krodha. Why Kamat Krodho Bijayate? You see, there are six anarthas, no? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. You all know that. So there are many six opulences and six anarthas and six whips of Maya. So six word is very famous in the Shastra. So six, these are our opulences in the material world. Everyone has this kama, krodha, madama, you know, matsarya. So it is told here, kama, krodha, lobha. Kama is the source of all these six opulences, these six anarthas. So six anarthas. How it happens? If we, kama, basically literal meaning of kama is material desires, fulfilling material desires. Material desires keep coming and we fulfill that. When we fulfill those material desires, then lobha develops, greed, more and more. I have to enjoy more and more, more and more, more and more, more and more material desires come. And if you don't fulfill that, krodha comes, frustration, anger. Why this material world is like this? It is not meant for my enjoyment. Why I am not getting enjoyment? Like that frustration. Like that we start cursing. Cursing everyone around us, cursing everything around us, cursing even God also. Why God has not made this material world for my satisfaction? Why I am not the center of the universe? Like that. Krodha comes, anger comes. So, or why whole world is not serving me? All the women of the world only should satisfy me. All the wealth should be my satisfaction. So, like that, frustration and anger comes. So, here Krishna is not talking about, you know, lobha. He is only talking about krodha. Why he is talking about krodha only? Why he is not talking about lobha?
Here he is speaking about not satisfying the karma.
Why he is not speaking about satisfying karma?
Like when one man is satisfied, he'll again only lower develop, but other things will not develop.
Other things will not develop.
Other four remain.
Because about lower, he used to only say that. I walk here below, I get the attention. Even if I get. Means he was not.
Actually, in the material world, you cannot satisfy desires. Ultimately, frustration has to come, anger has to come only. Ultimately, right or not? So it is told, no? Sometimes we hear in one lecture, in few lectures, sometimes I heard a devotee speaking. If you make all the ocean into ink and sky into a paper and go on writing and all the trees into pen, you know, previously they used to write with some, feather or some stick, you know, with a stick they will make that very sharp in the and dip and write like that. So if you make like that, all the trees will get extinguished, and all the water of the ocean will finish, sky will complete, become filled up, but material desires will not finish. So this is the condition of material. Every moment, mind is throwing out so many material desires. Every moment, just goes on. That is what it does always. Yesterday we were discussing that we should stop our mind sometime. So always it is throwing out so many desires in the mind. Mind is. Therefore, ultimately in the material world, so we cannot fulfill all the desires. Therefore, frustration has to come, anger has to come. So therefore, Krishna, he is telling that kamat krodha vijayate. From kama, krodha comes. Frustration. So here we see Srila Prabhupada is giving that how sense objects are influence even great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. So one who is not Krishna conscious is subject to material desires while contemplating the objects of the senses. The senses require real engagements, and if they are not engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord, they will certainly seek engagement in service of material. This is very common here. This point will come very common in this purpose. Engaging in the service of Krishna, I was telling, devotees will not stop senses, but they will engage them in the service of Krishna. So in this way they will control their senses, or Krishna controls their senses. Rashikena Rashikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Rashikesha is master of the senses. So we engage, we become servant of Rashikesha, then master will control our senses. This is common point in all these purports here, this point. In the material world, everyone including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, to say nothing of other demigods in heavenly planets, is subjected to influence of sense objects. And only method to get out of this puzzle of material existence is to become Krishna conscious. So, read, Sagar.
No, is not Krishna conscious.
Lord Shiva. Read first.
Lord Shiva was deep in meditation, but when Parvati agitated him for sense pleasure, he agreed to the proposal, and as a result, Kartikeya was born. When
so this is from this is from Kalidasa's poem. You know, he has written one poem book, no? Anyone knows what is that?
Kumara
Sambhava. You see, Kartikeya was born right here. Kumara Sambhava. It is very famous in among the Sanskrit students and teachers in India. Kumara Sambhava is very famous. It is. So all the Sanskrit students, they study that Kavya, Kavya section in Sanskrit, Kavya section. So of course, we have our own Kavyas in our Gaudiya tradition. We don't have to run around these. These are all just mundane books, mundane. Kalidasa is a mundane poet, yes. So, not necessary that everything in Sanskrit is spiritual, it is. Right? So we know, no? We have discussed, you know, in our recent classes that not everything which is described in the Veda is spiritual, it is. Right? We have to transgress Krishna, Arjuna. Krishna told to Arjuna that you have to go beyond the Vedic descriptions of Karmakanda. So this Kumara Sambhava book is written by, and there he describes in detail about what happens between Parvati and Shiva. So anyway, so they engaged, and then Kartikeya was born. Okay.
When Haridas Thakur was a young devotee of the Lord, he was similarly allured by the incarnation of Maya Devi. But Haridas easily passed the test because of his unalloyed devotion to Lord Krishna. As illustrated in the above mentioned verse of the Sri Annacharya, a sincere devotee.
Okay, continue. Yes. I'll comment in the
end. A sincere devotee of the Lord shuns all material sense enjoyment due to his higher taste for spiritual enjoyment in the association of the Lord. That is the secret of success. One who is not, therefore, in Krishna consciousness, however powerful he may be in controlling the senses by artificial repression, he is sure ultimately to fail, for the slightest thought of the sense pleasure will agitate him to gratify his desire.
So what is again main theme of this purpose? Again it is telling how devotional service is superior to meditation. Right? Shiva was engaged in meditation. But here we one more point comes. We all know Lord Shiva is a Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. That verse if you read in Bhagavatam, that comes in 12th canto, Vaishnavanam Yathabhu, Ganga, what is that verse? Ganga. Among rivers, Ganga is great. Among the Vaishnavas, Shiva is great. So like that, Shukdev Goswami goes on explaining. So now Lord Shiva is the greatest of devotee. Now he is given example for a yogi, meditative yogi, yogi engaged in meditation. And Haridas Thakur and Yamunacharya is given example for devotees. So comparison made here. That Shiva could not control his senses, but Yamunacharya and Haridas Thakur could control their senses because of engaging in devotional service. So it appears contradictory, no? Why? That's what I am asking. We hear that from Bhagavatam that Shiva is a devotee, right? How it happened? So who will answer? Divyananda ji, who will answer? He is not in? No. What you are saying? You are doing anti-preaching against Lord Shiva. In Bhagavatam we hear, no? He is the best among the devotees, right? Bhagavatam is the topmost scripture. We have to accept Bhagavatam. So someone raised hand, no? Here, this side.
Because he is trying to control his senses by
meditation.
Meditation, artificially.
That's what I'm saying. Why he is, Lord Shiva is portrayed here as yogi who is engaged in meditation, but we hear that Shiva is Vaishnava, Parama Vaishnava.
But now it was the time to get a son, powerful son, to defeat the demons. That time all the demons were approached.
Okay, that is context. Context why they wanted a child. But the point here is why he is presented as a meditative yogi. That is my question. Yeah, but he is a devotee, no? Why he is portrayed as, now you are engaged in devotional service. I will tell you that he is not engaged, he is a meditator, yogi, like that. Right or not? I will describe. Ashish is a yogi of Telangana area, like that I will describe. No? Right? yogi from Telangana area. Are Parama Vaishnava, what Mishra Bhatta do you
have?
In Kumara Sambhava, he is portrayed as a meditator. You see, this example is from Kumara Sambhava. In different scriptures, this will vary, no? Of course, it's not a scripture but Sanskrit book. So there Lord Shiva is portrayed as performing meditation. So therefore, he is given example as a yogi. So yeah, this is the point. So remember again and again how superiority of devotional service over other yoga system, especially here Ashtanga Yoga. This in the sixth chapter, this will be more elaborated. In the sixth chapter, purport after purport, it will come. That how devotional service is superior to Ashtanga Yoga, how devotional service is superior to meditation. Again and again it will come. So remember this. So yeah, so we will, one more point here comes. People say, sometimes people come and ask us, oh, I am not able to control my anger, they say, Prabhuji, I am not able to control my anger. So the problem here is, you are not able to control anger because you are engaged in the previous things. Jayato Vishayam Pumsa Sangaste Shubhajayate Sangasanjayate Kama. You are immersed in Kama, that's why you are not able to control your anger. So this is the point. So we should know that these people have some problem with these previous things. You know, meditation on contemplation on sense objects. And they have desires, material desires, and they are fulfilling those material desires in Kama. Therefore, they are not able to control anger. So that is the antidote for Krodha. Stopping, avoiding contemplation on sense objects. So there is a lecture quote here. The whole material energy is enticing every one of us by this beauty, by womanly beauty. Actually, there is no beauty. It is illusion. Shankaracharya says that you are going after this beauty, but you have analyzed this beauty. What is this beauty? So, anyone would like to quote that Shankaracharya verse is there? Very nice verse. Give me. It's very nice verse. I forgot to bring this verse. So this is nice verse, for brahmacharis especially. So the source which work of Shankaracharya is not mentioned, but Prabhupada often used to quote this verse. Naristanabharam navidesham drishtva mam gamohavesham yetan mam savasati vikaram manasi vichintaya bharam bharam. So, what is it telling? Manasi vichintaya bharam bharam. Again and again, remember in the mind, what is this Naristana, he says. Having seen the supposed beauty of woman's heavy breath and her thin waist, so previously in Vedic culture, beauty of woman, you know what is the beauty of woman? She should have very heavy breath and her waist should be thin. Nowadays, beauty of woman, if she is very slim, she is considered as very beautiful now. You know, that came from Europe and America, I think. From Europe, basically. In the Western countries, it is considered that women are beautiful if they are very slim. But actually, beauty you see here. Naristana bharam na videsham. Drashtva maga mohavesham. Do not become agitated and illusion. By seeing that, don't become agitated. First, we should not go to see. We have discussed that yesterday, right or not? But even if you see also, don't get disturbed by that. What is that? So, for these attractive features are simply transformations of Fat, flesh and various other disgusting ingredients. Etan mamsa vasadi vikaram. Manasi vichintaya bharam bharam. Again and again, remember this. So remember, now my skin is there. If I remove this skin, what is there inside? Just all flesh, blood, fat, all dirty substances are there. So now sometimes you see these fellows, they are attracted to women. If a woman gets, sometimes you know, they are burnt, they get fire. They are burnt fire, you know, that skin goes away and they look very ugly. So they are not attracted to them. So the beauty is only skin deep it is. So there is no actual beauty. So therefore Shankaracharya is thinking, saying that, remember that it is all transformation of blood, mucus, flesh, bones. That is the beauty, he says. It is just like our students Govinda Dasi and Naranarayan molding plaster of Paris. At this time it is not attractive, but this plaster of Paris, when nicely painted, will be so attractive. Similarly, this body is a combination of blood, muscles and veins. If you cut the upper portion of your body, as soon as you look inside, you will see that it is full of obnoxious, horrible things. But outwardly, under the illusion of Maya, it looks very attractive. Someone told once one cinema, Bollywood, Bollywood hero, actor got married to an actress. And next day after marriage, when he saw that he is going to pass tool, immediately divorce her. This is what I got attracted to. Like that it is. All, you know, Miss World, Miss Universe, they also pass tool. What is there in that? This is the beauty of this world. It is attracting our senses and is the cause of our bondage. We are being bound by false illusory beauty of this world. The exact example is the mirage. Reflection of sunlight on the desert appears to be water, but there is no water. The thirsty animal goes after the mirage, thinking, here is water, be satisfied. Similarly, we are running after the mirage and find no peace or no happiness. Therefore, we have to divert our attention back to Godhead. Don't run after this mirage, just turn back to Godhead, back to Krishna. Don't engage your senses in the illusory material beauty. Just apply your senses to Krishna, the real beautiful. That is Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Gita 2.6272, Los Angeles 68. So text 63. Then what happens after Krodha comes? Krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammoha smriti vibhramah, smriti vamshat buddhi nasho, buddhi nashat pranashyati. From anger, complete delusion arises. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. When intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material fool. So, from anger, complete delusion arises. What happens? So, we become overcome by delusion. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Sammoha. So from illusion, what happens? Sammoha means we start, basically we get confused about the reality. What is the reality? That is sammoha.